All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3 for the message tonight. And let me just encourage anyone who is thinking about signing up for the sign language class that you need to do that tonight. The class starts tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, so if you are wanting to attend that, you need to sign up tonight. And let my wife know that you're going to be there. If weather looks ominous tomorrow, if it starts to get bad or whatever, after 3:30, you can call the church office and there will be a message on the church phones concerning the meeting tomorrow night. All right, let's look at Joshua chapter 3. And I want to read the first five verses of this chapter. And the Bible says here in verse 1 that Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And there, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. So in other words, follow the Lord, right? Do you see that? That's what he's saying. The Lord was dwelling over the Ark of the Covenant, and so they were going to carry on the staves, on the poles, the Ark of the Covenant. And the men said that you are to follow the Ark. And where it goes, that's where you go. And you do not know the way, so you follow the Lord. And so verse 4, last part, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, notice in this verse, in this fifth verse, that Joshua did not say to the children of Israel, Canaanize yourselves. All right? He said, sanctify yourselves. Now, I'm telling you folks, becoming like the world is not the answer. It's coming out from the world. That's the answer. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. It is my job to sanctify myself. It is your job to sanctify yourself. All right? So if we would all do what we're supposed to do, I think things would be a whole lot better. All right, let's pray, and then we'll look at these few verses here. And I want to point out tonight three new things for the new year. Three new things for the new year. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the beautiful music we have heard tonight. Oh, just sing about heaven just makes you want to go there. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the thought of heaven and all that's involved to our hearts. May the Spirit of the Lord, may the power of the Lord, may the grace of the Lord just stir our souls with the desire to want to get to heaven and see you and see our families that have gone on, and our loved ones who have gone on, and our church members who have gone on. And Father, get us excited about heaven. And then I pray that you'll help us Lord, to realize that we're just sinners that are saved by grace. And Father, we need to serve and live for you. And so as we stand on the threshold of a new year, I pray you'll challenge us tonight to live for the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, bless as we look at three new things for the new year. And may you be honored in what is said. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of another year. Someone wisely said that time stands still for no one. And boy, that's the truth, isn't it? I remember my grandfather used to say all the time that the older you get, the faster the time goes. And how many of you are finding that to be true? All right. Yeah. All you old folks just raised your hand right there. Yeah. The young people are sitting there looking, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? But yeah, your day's coming there, Buster, let me tell you. And how true that is. Time stands still for no one. And so as we approach a new year, our thoughts just automatically turn to new excitement and new anticipation and new resolutions and goals and efforts and aspirations. All these things come to mind as we think about the new year. And many of us will, without admitting it for fear that we won't carry them out, but many of us will make New Year's resolutions. We will set some goals, and I think that's a good thing. I think that we ought to always be striving to better ourselves and our lives and the lives of our loved ones. But let me suggest to you tonight that we make some spiritual resolutions. Let me just suggest a couple of things to you this evening. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Joshua is about to lead, he's prepared to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River, and they're going to go into the land of promise. Now, just as a new year brings territory to us not yet seen, we are told here in this passage of Scripture that the children of Israel were crossing into new territory. You'll remember none of these folks had ever seen the land except for Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two that had ever seen it. All the rest of them were born in Egypt or born in the wilderness. Or they weren't born in Egypt, but born in the wilderness. All the ones out of Egypt, they died. Remember that? In unbelief. They did not believe. And they said, oh no, we can't go in the land. So they died in the wilderness. So all of these people were born in the wilderness. Think about that. It's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? And so here they are now prepared to go into the land. None of them had seen it before. It was all new territory to them except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. Amazing, isn't it? And so it's new land, just like a new year is new land for us. So we're about to enter into new territory, and I'm telling you, folks, we need to be full of God's power to help us defeat our enemy, the devil, as we step into this new year. I don't know about you, but I feel like the devil has come after me in the last year. Of course, I felt that way for a long time. We were laughing, Karen and I were laughing, I think it was yesterday. We were laughing, and I made the comment. I didn't tell you all this, but Thursday I had to go back to the oral surgeon that took this tooth out of my head, and I had bone fragments that were coming out of the socket. So I had to go back and get it all drilled out again. Oh, yes, fun. Yes. So if I'm talking a little funny, it's that's why. But every now and then I hear a little whistle, and I hear because I've got a hole over here, and it's healing up now, thank the Lord. But Karen was laughing at me and calling me Ziggy again, and. You know, I said, that's Pastor Ziggy to you, you're Mr. Ziggy or whatever the case. But anyway, And she said, "Has anybody else in the family got the Ziggy factor?" I said, "No, I'm pretty much it." I think it's just the devil just doesn't like me very well. But you know, this whole matter of fighting the devil, it's something we do every day. I mean, it's something that that a child of God has to do every day. And so Joshua told them that they would go into this land, new territory. But he told them, when you go in, you're going to see God do some amazing new wonders. You're going to see God do some things. And you know, I was thinking, that's what I'd like to see for this year for the Church the Open Door. I would like to see God just do some wonderful things. And God can do those wonderful things if we are walking with Him at our side. That's how they were to enter into the land, following the Lord. And if we go into 2018 following the Lord, I think it'll make a difference in our lives. Now notice Joshua's plea. There are three things that I call to your attention. In verse 4, we have, first of all, a new way. Look at verse 4. He said, at the last part of that verse, he said that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Ye have not passed this way before. Think about that, folks. These Israelites, they had traveled in some rough country. That wilderness area that they spent 40 years in, oh my, is that rough ground. That is rough territory. And they had been in some rough places. They had faced some fierce enemies in those rough places, in that wilderness. And Joshua tells them, listen, you've been in some rough places, but where you're going, you've never been here before. And if you thought that those places were rough, you just wait. You're going into new territory, and there's going to be new enemies, and there's going to be new battles, and there's going to be new trials, and you're going to have to trust in the Lord to deliver you at every step of the way. Now, folks, it's the same way with us and a new year. A new year is for us a new way. There will be struggles. There will be new battles that you're going to have to fight. There will be new trials that you will have to deal with. There will be new goals that you're going to have to set. There will be, no doubt, times of victory. And there will no doubt be times of defeat. That's the way it was for the children of Israel. So why should we think it will be any different with us? You see, the way to the promised land is a way of battle. It is not, everybody, they. I guess it's more the songwriters' fault than it is anybody, but a lot of the songwriters, they portray the land of Canaan as a picture of heaven. Well, folks, listen, the land of Canaan was far from a picture of heaven. I mean, when they got to Canaan, the Canaanites were there. There are no Canaanites in heaven. Amen. You're not going to have to get up to heaven and fight the Canaanites. No, we battle the Canaanites here, don't we? And we fight the devil here. And so the way to the promised land is a way of battle. And when you get there, you got to trust in the Lord and let the Lord fight the battle for you. Let me remind you that it was the Lord that knocked down the walls of Jericho. Let me remind you, it was the Lord that caused the sun to stand still. It was the Lord that delivered the Midianites into their hands. God fought their battles for them. I heard a preacher say one time that the pages of tomorrow are a clean white slate, and you can make the choice as to what God writes on them. And I wonder, what will God write on your page? What will God put on your page tomorrow? Is he going to write defeated by the devil tomorrow? What will he put on there Tuesday? Will Tuesday say the enemy was defeated because of prayer? Prayer defeated the enemy. Maybe January the 16th or the 17th, it'll say a trial conquered. January the 20th, it'll say the way of escape was accepted and the victory was won. I mean, folks, every day is a blank page. A new year is a new way. Oh, how we need to let God win some victories for us in this new year. A new year, a new way brings a promise from God. Look at the second part of verse 5. He said in the second part, "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." You see, that new way with the Lord is it brings a promise. In Psalm 32 in verse 8, David said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eyes." I will guide thee with mine eyes. Folks, listen, we don't know about tomorrow. We do not know what tomorrow will hold. But we know the one who holds tomorrow. You see the difference? We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. He's got it in the palm of his hand. And we don't know what tomorrow might bring. It's unseen territory. But folks, God knows. And if we will give him our lives, he will guide us through tomorrow and everything will be fine. And we know that God understands tomorrow. He knows what we're going to face. And he is there to guide us and instruct us and lead us along the way. So we have, first of all, a new way. But then secondly, I want you to notice that Joshua talks about a new walk. A new walk. Look at the first part of verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves." That's how you go into the new land. That's how you go into the new year, with a heart that is on fire for God. A heart that has been sanctified. He did not say, "Canaanize yourself." He did not look at all the children of Israel and say, "Hey guys, we're going in to the land where the Canaanites live, and we want you to become Canaanites." No, it was sanctify yourself. Get apart and separated unto God. A call for cleansing. A call for a confession of sin and calling on the nation. And it's not uncommon in the Old Testament for for those that were in leadership to stand before the people and call the entire nation to come in repentance to God. And brethren, if there is one thing that I would like to see accomplished, it is that we would start out a new year with a new way, with a cleansed heart. And look at chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites," do you see that? "All the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." I mean, the Lord said, "Follow me, and we're going to pass over." And the Bible says at the end of the chapter that they all did it. And when they all followed the Lord, they all passed over the Jordan and God into the land of promise. Folks, listen, we don't know what lies ahead in this new year. None of us knows. We don't know if disease or if death or if battles or a broken heart. We don't know what battles we're going to have to fight. We just don't know. But I submit to you that if we would all sanctify our hearts, if all of us would cleanse our hearts and confess that we need the Lord and confess our sin before him, that then we would be able to go over into the new year as one and be victorious instead of defeated in the new year. You say, well, how do we do that, Pastor? Well, let me just make some suggestions here, and we'll call these our New Year's resolutions. All right? Number one, read your Bible every day. I mean, folks, just listen, get in a book. Get in the book. Read it, study it, learn it, love it, memorize it. Just get in the book. Secondly, confess your sin to God every day. I mean, just pray every day and keep short accounts with God. Don't let that sin pile up and build up. Keep a confession, a major part of your everyday life. Just confessing sin and keeping your heart right with the Lord. Third, be faithful to God every day. Folks, realize, would you just realize every day of your life that you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, on the first mission trip that I went to Guyana, South America. And my luggage, of course, you know, got lost. All right. Yeah, Ziggy goes to Guyana. And my luggage got lost. And they have this great big terminal, this great big building, no air conditioning, of course. And just all the luggage gets taken over to this building. And you go over and get in a single file line and with your passport, and you stand in line and you wait in the hot sun, and you wait, and then you wait some more, and then you wait, and then when you get tired, you just keep waiting, and you don't get to go in, and just get your luggage. No, you've got to wait. Have I emphasized to you that waiting is a key component of what goes on that entire afternoon? Well, that's what we did. And so we went over and stood in line. And so 7 o'clock comes, and it's time for church. And we weren't even halfway up to the front of the line yet. And so we had to leave. And so we got in the car, we left, and went to church. Then we said, we'll come back the next day. So we came back the next day, and we got in the line, and it wasn't quite as long as it was the day before. And I looked over at the missionary, who was a native Guyanese, and I said, you know, this is ridiculous. Don't they know who I am? I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And his eyes lit up. And he said, excuse me, ambassador here. And he's got me by the arm and he's leading me through the crowd saying, ambassador here. And people were parting and getting out of our way like I was some kind of royalty. And we got to the front of the line and I thought, I'll never see my wife and kids again. That's what I thought. I thought, I'm done. I'm toast right here. This is it. They will lock me up and throw away the key. I thought I was a goner for sure. And the fellow sitting at the desk looked at me and he said, do you see your luggage, sir? And I said, yes, it's right there. And he said, you may get your luggage. I said, thank you. And so as I was going, he said, is that your passport? And I said, yes. And he said, let me see it. And I handed him my passport, went over and got my bags, and then came back over and was standing there. He looked up at me and he said, you're not an ambassador. And I said, yes, I am. He said, you don't have a diplomat? A passport? And I said, no, I don't. But I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, well, whatever, and stamped it and handed it to me. Hey, it worked. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. Be a good representative. Be aware that you are a Christian. Be aware of the fact that you are a child of God. Number four, attend church regularly. I mean, attend church. You just ought to be here. A new way takes a new walk. And you ought to be in church. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but you ought to be in church. I want to read you something. I found this years ago, and I've kept it. And it's kind of cute. It's called Why They Fired the Pastor. Why They Fired the pastor. All right, now listen carefully. It was a small, nice, close-knit community. They had many things to offer to their citizens. And the church was the lifeblood of everybody's life. The pastor was a really nice fellow with a sweet, charming wife and two precious little girls. He was well received by the people who liked his preaching. His sermons were never too long, and they never stepped on anybody's toes. But in spite of his popularity, it was agreed upon by all that he could just preach there any longer after what he had done. What did he do, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. It all started a few months ago on Thursday night visitation. He never showed up. One of the men made sure that everybody who came was paired up and had cards and places to go and visit. And when later that evening, a phone call was made and he was asked why he missed visitation, he said to the man who called, "Well, I was tired and I just couldn't make it tonight." And then about a week later, he came in really late for a Sunday night evening service. The men delayed the service as long as they could, but he never came in until there was only just a few minutes left in the service. And just as Deacon John was halfway through, or three quarters of the way through his devotional, the pastor came in. Oh, just a few minutes left in the service. And some of the folks were noticeably unhappy with the pastor's late arrival. And some of them cornered him after church and asked him where he was. Was everything all right? And he gave his excuse without any apology. Here's what he said. He said, "Well, I was bored this afternoon, so I decided to take the family out for a drive in the country. And as we were coming back, I noticed Brother Adams and his family were having a picnic, so we stopped and spent the afternoon and evening with them. And I realized when it was too late that church had probably already started." Well, to say the least, some of the deacons were quite upset. And then about a week later, he completely missed a Wednesday night prayer meeting. The men after church went to his home and they found him lying on his couch watching a ball game. His excuse? Well, he had gotten up early that day to go to the hospital and he had worked hard all day. And when he got home, his wife had some honeydew things for him and he just was so tired and he started to come. But then about an hour before church, Brother and Sister Davis stopped by and for a few minutes to chat. And before he knew it, church time was here and church had already started. And he thought, "Well, it's too late to go now." He kept getting worse. He was late for everything. And then to top it all, when he missed Sunday school and Sunday morning church without anyone knowing about it, his excuse was he ran into Brother Paulie on Saturday and they started talking about how the bass were hitting up at the lake. And so they went fishing for the weekend and he just forgot to let anybody know that he wouldn't be there. Well, it seemed like after all this, the church just had no alternative. They had to let him go. You see, that type of behavior was just too much to ignore. So they fired him and he left and he took his family with him. It was really kind of sad, but everybody knew that it had to happen. And of course, the rumors are running wild all over town about why the preacher left. Some are close to the truth, but most of the rumors don't even seem to get close. But I suppose that the church secretary summed it up best when she wrote in the church minutes the reason for the pastor's dismissal. She wrote, "The pastor was fired because he was acting like all the other church members." Hello. You say, ouch. Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it? He was fired because he was acting like everybody else. Folks, where's our commitment today? Where'd it go? Brother Rossi called me yesterday, and we talked for a little while. And Brother Rossi was saying, you know, Brother Norris, he said, people don't respect the church like they used to. People don't respect the man of God like they used to. He said, I am so tired of being accosted in my foyer. I am so tired of having fingers pointed at me and people walking up and letting me have it in the foyer. I'm tired of it. He said, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that would have never happened. But we've lost our fear of God. What happened to us? All right, so we got a new way. We got a new way. We've got, secondly, a new walk. But then thirdly, I want you to notice new wonders. New wonders. In verse 5, let me tell you something, folks. These children, these Israelites, they had seen many wonders, had they not? They had seen God do some amazing things. They had seen God just deliver them time after time after time. And remember, they were not warriors. They were shepherds. These men were not trained warriors. They did not have great military might. They were peasants. They were slaves. But they had God's power when they were cleansed. And they had God's promises when they were cleansed. And in verse 10, God promises that he is going to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Hivite and the Perizzite and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all the rest of the ites." He said, God will get rid of them for you. That's the amazing thing. They didn't have to fight. All they had to do was follow. Follow God. And God would fight for them. We've wondered. We've been amazed, have we not? When we have prayed and God has answered our prayers. I mean, have we not been amazed? You prayed for me and God put his hand of healing on me. And you prayed for Josh and God put his hand of healing on Josh. And you have prayed for Pastor Holbrook and Pastor Shutt when they had their heart issues and God has put his hand on them. We have prayed for one another and we have seen God answer prayers. Folks, can you imagine what God would do for us if we as a church sanctified ourselves and all of us began to pray for God to send a revival to our church? Amen. Oh, we ought to be praying. A new walk, a new way, and new wonders. New wonders. You see, that's what a new walk produces, new wonders. And we all need to see the new. Dedication is necessary for God to show us the new. I remember one time when I was down in West Virginia, I had Lee Robertson come and preach for me. And Dr. Robertson was such a sweet, sweet man. He was well in his 80s, almost 90s, when he came to preach for me. And when he came to preach for me, he never once stood behind my pulpit, not once. He stood right here like this. with a lapel mic and just stood there. He never got near my pulpit. And I asked him why. I said, "Brother, why didn't you stand behind the pulpit?" And he said, "That's your pulpit." He said, I don't stand behind your pulpit." And he stood off to the side and preached. But as he was preaching in my church, he told a story, and I've never forgotten that story. And he said, and I close with this, he said that years ago when he was a young man, and he said down in Alabama, there was a little tiny town that asked him to come and hold a revival meeting. Little church down in Alabama, southern Alabama. And he said that he knew the church, and he was reluctant to go. He said, "The reason that I didn't want to go is because the people were contrary. The church was just always in a fight. They just couldn't get along with one another. They had so many preachers through the years, and every time they got one, they either starved him out or they ran him out another way." And he said that just a contrary bunch of people. And he said, "I was reluctant to go, but," he said, "the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with my heart." And he said, "I told them that I would come." So he said that he went down to preach in the church on Sunday. And the plan was to go Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then he would come back to his own pulpit and preach the following Sunday. So he was going to be there all week long. And he said that by Thursday night, all of a sudden something started to happen. He said on Sunday, the people were cold and the pastor was cold and the fellowship was cold. And he said it was just a cold church. There was no spark, no energy, no fire. But he said on the fourth night, on Thursday night, as he preached the message, that he gave the invitation, and four men stepped out all at the same time from various parts of the church and came and got on their knees at the altar. And when those four men came, the pastor of the church stepped off the platform and he got on his knees in between two over here and two over here. And before long, the two over here were meeting with the pastor in the middle, and then the two over here came, and everybody was meeting together, and the whole church stopped singing and was watching what was going on up front. Lee Robertson said, "I didn't know if they were going to start fighting or if we were going to have revival." And he said, all of a sudden, he said, those men stood and embraced. And then he said, for the next 4 weeks, there were 240 people who trusted Christ as their Savior in that town. Revival happened. When people got right with one another and got right with God and began to pray for revival, revival came. Now, folks, God is not finished with us yet. And we got to realize that. A new year, well, we need a new walk. And we need a new way. And we need a new wonder. Let's pray for God to do something in our hearts and start that revival in us.